Thank you, Bradfords. So I have to tell you, that just gave me chills. I haven't talked to them. They know the title of my talk, obviously. And they picked the perfect song for my my message today. So welcome, everyone. My name is Reverend Clyde Goings. I'm a little shaky because of that song. So my name is Reverend Clyde Goings. I'm the assistant minister here. Reverend Karen is out this week. She's taking some personal time, and she has a loss of a loved one that she's actually attending a funeral today in California. So we're just sending her love and blessing. So I'm very excited to be here, and I have to share with you guys, I was even more excited to be here when I knew the Bradfords were going to be here. For two reasons. One, they simply raise the energy level in the center every time that they're here, and so I love that. And the second is that just like they beautifully sung that song, just creates this beautiful space for whatever message is going to be unfolding today. So thank you very much. So the title of my talk today is We Are Aging and Not Decaying. So see how perfectly forever young? It just fits hand in hand. So anyways, did you know that the average physical life expectancy back in 1900s was 31 years old? In 1920, it was 54 years old. In 1998, it was 75 years old. We are definitely standing on the shoulders of our brothers and sisters that lived before us. There's many reasons why we're living longer. For me, it's not the question why, but it's how. Who wants to live 101 years old and be angry and sad? Who wants to live 100 plus years old and be a victim and not feel like they have any control over their happiness? So we are hearing about people living older and older, past 100 years old. So the average age continues to increase, thank God. When I first heard the statement, we are aging and not decaying, it really resonated with me. I'm embracing my age and love life every step of the way. Everything that you need to be an active participant in life, you already have. We need to stay active physically. We need to try to eat healthy. And we need to focus on what we want to experience in life right now. So what I enjoy today is completely different what I enjoyed 30 years ago. I used to go to bed at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and now I wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And that is my favorite time of the day. Every day is a new beginning. Our bodies are aging, and there's no way to stop it. Although scientists and others are trying to identify ways to prolong our physical life, I believe that we are part of the cycle of life, and our physical bodies are subject to the finite physical experiences that nature has allowed us to have. Just because our physical bodies are getting older doesn't mean that we sit back and start decaying. It means that we find new ways to express and enjoy life. We are God expressing as a baby as well as 90 years old. It just looks different. Ernest Holmes says, God does not withdraw himself from us at a certain age, for God is omnipresent. In this presence, every being is fully provided for at every age. It's not over till it's over. If we're still here, it's because life needs us to live more. Life is about the journey, and we get to decide if we want to enjoy life or become victims of circumstance. Spirit is always present in our life. We are always guided by that divine intelligence and supported by Spirit. I truly believe that life gets better with age if we're willing to learn and grow on our spiritual journey. Morgan Freeman, who was an actor, his career did not take off until he was in his 50s. Julia Child, who was a chef, did not make it big until she was 51. Harry Bernstein, who was a writer, finally became famous at 96 when he wrote his book and published his book at 93. And Gladys Burrow, who was a mountain climber and a hiker, she ran her first marathon at 86 years old. It's not over till it's over. And if you're here, there's more life for you to express. So let's get busy. All of the CSL centers are focusing on 100 years of Science of Mind. And I am so grateful for our Science of Mind teachings, our Sunday service, and our community that accepts and supports people right where they are. No matter what age you are, we always get to choose how we want to experience life. We can sit back on the sidelines and watch life pass us by, or we can step into the flow of life and enjoy the ride. The ride is boring sometimes. It's exciting sometimes. It's scary and even painful at times. But it's all about the journey and not the destination. Ernest Holmes says, "Man is birthless, deathless, and ageless spirit, and this should be the consciousness of our work. Life cannot grow old. God, in us, through us, and as us, can only express according to his own nature, which is perfection." So we must look past our current conditions and express life through that perfect expression that we are. It looks different for each one of us. It looks different for me now that I'm 52 and not 25. So what do you want to experience right now? How do you want to express life right now? I ran my first half marathon when I was 49. I started to learn how to mountain bike when I was 50. I went on my first week-long backpacking trip when I was 51. I have learned to say yes to life and let spirit lead the way. I have a real simple example for you that happened last week. So I met with, a couple weeks ago, I met with Reverend Karen on Friday. We were having our meeting and kind of planning out things that are going on in the center. And she let me know that she needed to take off the following Sunday, a week from that Friday, because of the funeral. And she asked me to do the Sunday talk. And of course, I said yes. And then I walked away and said, "Okay, God." I said, "I only have a week to get this done. I don't know how I'm going to do it." And then what happened, a couple days later, she calls me and she tells me that the funeral was pushed back another week. And so now I had 2 weeks. So, of course, I was very excited. So we don't have to know the how. We just need to stay focused on what we want to experience, and life will provide. When I run and bike and hike, I feel connected to nature. I feel like I'm part of something greater. I feel the interconnectedness of life. I'm starting to train for my next half marathon and another week-long hike trail on the Appalachian Trail. So I have to share with you guys, I have this little process or a little ritual that I do. So I take my backpack out of storage and I put it in my living room, and it becomes part of my furniture for a couple of weeks, and I keep looking at it every day knowing that I'm going to get ready to start for this hike. So our spiritual principles and tools, the spiritual principles and tools I've learned through the Science of Mind teaching not only helps me navigate through life, but helps me achieve my physical goals. The three practices that help me finish my half marathon are: I stay focused on the finish line, regardless of the conditions. I practice, 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 and the runner's high, being in the flow of life. I stay focused on the finish line, regardless of the conditions. It takes me 2 hours to complete a half marathon. That is the first condition I need to release. I remember when I started training for the half marathon, I had a lot of doubt that I could not cross the finish line. How many times do we stop ourselves from doing something because we don't think we're smart enough, or we don't think we're strong enough, or we don't think that we have enough time? Tony Robbins, a well-known life coach and motivational speaker, says, "The only impossible journey is one that you never begin." Yeah. We are here to experience life, and the fear of the unknown is part of that experience. We will never know unless we try. When we are having challenges imagining the finish line, whatever it might be for you, it could be a project, a loving relationship, a job promotion, even vacation, or working on the Sunday talk. We can create a mental equivalent, an image of what we want to experience, how it feels, and what it looks like. Our mental equivalent is not about the how, it's about the what that we want to experience. Ernest Holmes says this about mental equivalents: having a subjective idea of the desired experience, as we bring ourselves to a greater vision than the range of our present concepts, we can then induce a greater concept, thereby demonstrate more in our experience. We can visualize crossing the finish line. Athletes do it all the time. Their thoughts become aligned with their achievement. And it's not over when we cross the finish line. There's more life to live. There's more experiences. There's more life to express. I don't know about you, but I have a lot more finish lines I want to cross before I leave this life. When we cross the finish line, it simply means the current chapter in our life is over. We cross the finish line of our job and we move into retirement. We cross the finish line when we lose someone close to us. The person moves away, relationship ends, or we lose the loved one. We cross the finish line when we finish school or a project or go on vacation. Our journey is not over because we are still here. We start a new chapter in our life and we look for the next finish line. I found this beautiful quote from Ignatz Powell, who was an author and poet, and he expresses beautifully how our life is not over when we cross the finish line. This is what he says. If my ship sails from sight, it doesn't mean my journey ends. It simply means the river bends. Let me say that again. If my ship sails from sight, it doesn't mean my journey ends. It means simply the river bends. When I cross the finish line, there's always another race. We must say yes to life and stay open to God expressing through us. I know that visualizing the finish line is not enough for me to cross that line. Just like we say in spiritual mind treatments, we treat and move our feet. I commit to 3 months of training and practice. My practice consists of 2 days of weightlifting, 2 days of endurance training, and 1 long-distance run a week. Every couple of weeks, I add a couple of miles. I also modify my diet, my rest, and my drinking. During this time, my actions and my decisions are all in support of me crossing that finish line. I sometimes practice even when I don't feel like it. I found a great quote from Bruce Lee, who was a famous Kung Fu fighter years ago. So when I was a young boy, my parents would limit my Kung Fu shows that I would watch because I would go around the house trying to chop up everything. So Bruce Lee, who was my karate idol, said he feared not the man who practiced 10,000 kicks once, but he feared the man who practiced one kick 10,000 times. Our practice is what trains our mind and body. The more we practice, the more actions become automatic. My practice is what helps me cross the finish line. Our spiritual practice is what helps us live the life that we want to experience. I practice so I can condition my body. We practice to expand our consciousness and learn to live from inside out. Meditation, spiritual mind treatment, visioning, and tithing all help us expand our consciousness, remember our truth, and increase our faith in God. When I train to run, I condition my body as well as my mind. My mind will give up before my body. Our spiritual practices train our mind. Meditation trains our mind to observe, to be the observer of our life. Spiritual mind treatment trains our mind to become clear of what we want to experience. Visioning trains our mind to be open to divine guidance. And tithing trains our mind to step out in faith because we understand the law of circulation. Our spiritual practice has many forms, and you need to find the one that works best for you. Running and hiking is my favorite spiritual practice. Coming to service on Sunday is a spiritual practice. Participating in small discussion groups is a spiritual practice. Volunteering is a spiritual practice, and reading spiritual books is a spiritual practice. Whatever activity that connects you with spirit is the perfect spiritual practice for you. When we practice, life becomes easier. The finish line becomes doable. I found another quote from a piano teacher that best explains practice. Don't practice until you get it right. Practice until you can't get it wrong. I practice to cross the finish line, not to win the race. Our spiritual practice helps us experience heaven on earth, right here and now. What I love about practicing is when I stay focused on my practice and look in the rearview mirror of my life, I'm amazed how far I've come. I am grateful for all that I've experienced and I've accomplished. So Reverend Karen always talks about the four kingdoms of consciousness. And I observe, I am observant of where I am and where others are in their life. The first kingdom is victimhood. Everything is happening to me and I don't have any control. The second kingdom is I am no longer a victim and I am co-creating my life. I love the second kingdom because I'm a doer and I like to make things happen. The second kingdom is my playground. My prayers work and I tell all my friends I'm a manifester of life. The third kingdom is God expressing through me. I am open to that divine guidance and become a vessel for spirit to operate through me. And then the fourth kingdom is God as me. It's about being the presence. And personally, I experience the fourth kingdom when I'm in nature. Recently, I looked in the rearview mirror of my life and see my spiritual growth. I've been focused on my spiritual practice and I didn't realize that I've been living more from kingdom three. I find myself not making long-range goals, but except for my vacations, of course. I always plan my vacations at least a year out in advance. Instead, I focus on what's happening in my life today, and I pay attention to the experience and how do I want to express life. I find myself saying yes to life and allow it to unfold. I allow it to support me, and I allow it to guide me. I try to live my life from the realization that God is all there is, and there is no separation. When I'm practicing for my race, the second month in, I'm running usually about 8 miles every Saturday, and I don't even think twice about it. I remember when I first started training for my first half marathon, I would text all my running friends, you know, how far I ran. Oh, I ran 6 miles, 7 miles, 8 miles, 10 miles. Yes, I was bragging. But at the same time, I was amazing myself that I could do it, kind of operating in Kingdom 2. And now I just do it, and I enjoy the feeling of the interconnectedness of life. My body becomes an engine, and I feel life flowing in, through, and all around me. Ernest Holmes says, "Let go of doubt, distrust, worry, condemnation, and fear, and lay hold of life in its expression of beauty, truth, and wholeness. Hold steadfastly to the thought that all life is in a state of eternal flow. When I'm running, I let go of all my worries, fears, and doubts, and then the most incredible thing starts to happen. I begin to receive these intuitive suggestions about my life, about projects that I'm working on, about my relationships, even topics for the Sunday service. We practice until we can't get it wrong. After the 7 mile mark, I usually can't feel the lower half of my body. Some people call that the runner's high. I feel like I'm floating in a cloud and moving down the running path. I get the same feeling at work, here at the center, and even at my home. I feel like I'm in the flow of life. I feel supported, I feel loved, and I feel guided. Our life is like running in a race. We focus on what we want to experience, the finish line. Knowing that there's always another race, we practice, so our spiritual practice becomes the means for us to experience the divine presence and the interconnectedness of life. And as we move through this journey called life, we release what does not support our joy, and we stay open to the flow of beauty and wholeness. Yes, we are aging, but we're not decaying. So I want to close with a quote from Ron Dass, and he describes describes aging as nature's way of spiritualizing us. This is what he says: spiritual practices help us move from identifying with the ego to identifying with the soul. Old age does that for you too. It spiritualizes people naturally, and so it is.